Rishiva said,
and he said, so did I. And the people were floored. They couldn't believe it. Such an Adam Gadol, the Rosh Hashiva Rishiva's Mir, 9 buildings, 7,000 Talmidim, started out like him, like me, went to Ida Crown, played ball for Ida Crown, and still became who he was? Unbelievable. He floored them. Second story I'd like to have to read from inside because I can't do justice. Rav Aaron Lapiansky, the Rosh Hashiva in Silver Spring, wrote this story, and he speaks so eloquently, I feel that I won't do justice if I don't read it word for word. So please pay attention. Living in America the last decade, I would visit my brother-in-law, the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi was his brother-in-law, in Israel about once a year. As I would walk into the house and see him living with such difficulties, Rav Aaron is talking about is Rav Nosson Tzvi had Parkinson's disease. It was such a severe, debilitating disease that he would literally shake every waking moment of his life. Literally, would sit in yeshiva, he could be in a shmooze, he could be speaking like this, and the shtender would be shaking, and he'd be moving all over. I can't even do justice, I'm not even exaggerating. How badly he would shake, and yet he would still run the yeshiva. I would weep and silently voice a protest. So much sacrifice. Must every minute of a ferociously long day be spent teaching and comforting others? Do you not need a second of your time for yourself? Must every person have instant access to your home? Must every shred of your dignity be offered upon the altar for Havatzas HaTorah, for populating Torah? Every square inch of your body, every moment, you're constantly thinking about somebody else. Must you do this to yourself? You have a severe case of Parkinson's. You can't even sleep in bed without falling over. You can't even move without somebody helping you. Every single moment of your waking life has to be involved for somebody else. So listen to what he answered. And Rav Nosson Tzvi's eyes would dance, and his smile would radiate, and a silent whisper, because he couldn't talk very loud, he would reply in amazement, "Who is sacrificing? I have taken the limited days of a human, the dignity of a mere flesh and blood, and a disease-racked body, and I've converted them into millions of hours of Torah study. Hundreds of terutzim trebekiva egas kashi nevamas, thousands of uplifted spirits, and tens of thousands of neshamas burning with avas haTorah." What a deal! That's what he said. What a deal. Can you imagine? Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, what a deal. He can't move for a second without tremendous pain. It was told that in his shiva, there was a man who came who also had Parkinson's. He came in a wheelchair. He came in a wheelchair to be Menachem of the family. And he said that he shared the same doctor as the Rosh Hashiva did. And the doctor told this man, who said that he can't even learn a daf of Gemara anymore. He just sits in his bed. The doctor told this guy that the Rosh Hashiva, Rosen Tzvi's disease, was 10 times worse than this man. And yet, despite it all, he was able to build 9 buildings, 7,000 Talmidim. Every month he would be flying out to America to raise money for the yeshiva. And yet it wasn't a big deal. It was worth it for him. It was worth it for him to bring Harbatzas HaTorah, to bring Torah to the masses. How could it be? Where do you get such a call from? What can we learn from this? How could it possibly be? So the answer, I think, is in this week's parasha, where we learn the chesed of Avraham Avinu. The Gemara tells us that the avos heinein amarkava, the avos were the chariots from which we ride on their backs. Whatever, they're the trailblazers. Whatever they did, they left the lineage for the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the Torah and Chazal, they go to great lengths and they describe all of the chesed that Avraham Avinu was able to do. How he opened his house, 4 openings, we all learned in kindergarten, everybody coming in and out, nefashos ha'asu b'charon, he was able to bring everybody, to many, many people, to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is chesed? I mean, where is this midah of chesed that Avraham Avinu had that he passed down to generations, to where we could see somebody so awesome as Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, again as Yortzeit is today, that he can do this unbelievable chesed. He could live totally for the cloud. What's chesed? So Rav Pinkus writes in the Sefer that chesed is the ability for somebody to give to somebody else without boundaries. Without boundaries. Avraham Avinu was somebody that was able to give, whether your guest was the Moshe or Rabbeinu, it wouldn't matter to him. Or if it was some Bedouin whom he thought they were, but he would give them the same exact cover. That's what chesed is. Boundless love for somebody else, constantly giving the ability to never be tired of it. What's the opposite? What's not being about chesed? So Pinkus writes, the opposite is somebody who's mitzamsein, who limits himself. He says, you know what I want to do chesed? When it's convenient for me. If a Moshe Rabbeinu comes, if a Rebbe comes, if a politician comes to my house, and I'll give him food, and I'll give him drink, and I'll give him meat and wine, but somebody who, a lowly person, I'm not going to go out of my way for that. That's not somebody who's an Adam Chesed. Somebody who's belittling himself, putting himself in a boundary, limiting his kochos. Chesed is somebody that can have boundless love and boundless chesed for somebody else. The Medrash tells us that the chesed that Avraham Avinu did not only reward Avraham Avinu on his own, but that chesed, the reward of the chesed that Avraham Avinu did, trickled down throughout the generations. The Medrash tells us that for every maisa, for every action that Avraham Avinu did, every little action that Avraham Avinu did in chesed, we were able to reap the benefits from in later generations. For instance, three examples. And the pasuk tells us, Echa paslechem, that Avraham Avinu went to get pas, to get bread, and to serve it. So in that schus, we have the man. The pasuk goes on and says, Holoch imam l'shalchem, he went to the melava, he went to escort his visitors. Hashem holech lefneichem, in the midbar Hashem had the anenei akavim. Yukach na ma'atmayim, that he gave them water, that the far-reaching effect of a chesed was that, as the pasuk in Zechariah says, that Yerushalayim will have a flow, a continuous flow of water, in the schus of the fact that Avraham Avinu, thousands of years before, gave some water to somebody who he thought needed it. Unbelievable ripple effect that a person can have. This is a small ma'aseh chesed that Chazal are teaching us. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It doesn't have to be anything great. A small chesed, you're thinking about another person, it could have an effect now, but it could even have an effect later on. The Gemara in Bava Basra, we learned a few years ago, the Gemara in Bava Basra in Daf Tesla Mabe says, Hanosim Pruta Liani, somebody who gives a pruta, small coin to an ani, would be mitbarech for shesh brachos. He'll be blessed with six brachos. Not only that, the Gemara tells us, somebody's mitfaye, somebody makes the ani feel better, more so, he'll be blessed with 11 brachos. Over and above giving the money, you say a good word to somebody else, you'll get your 11 brachos. You give tzedakah, a pruta. You didn't say $1 million, you didn't say $1,000. You give somebody a pruta, make them feel better, shesh brachos. You give them a good word, 11 brachos. Unbelievable. You make the person feel better. Person needs money, but he also needs a good word. It also needs a helping hand. That gets you more brachos. That's the koch of Maisa Chesed. That's what Rav Natan Tzvi taught his yeshiva. That's what he taught us. I want to tell you a story that I heard a few months ago, unbelievable story, about this idea how one Maisa Chesed, it doesn't have to be a great thing, can go so far. Unbelievable Maisa. I think I might have told it in my shir, but I have to tell it over to everybody who hasn't heard this. There was an usher, a wealthy man who lives, I think he's still alive, he lives in Bnei Brak. A wealthy man who was always involved in chassadim, always trying to help people, particularly if somebody needed a refuah shleima, if they needed to go get surgery somewhere, he would make sure if they had to go to America, if they had to go to England, if they had to go to Switzerland, wherever it was, he would arrange it for him, and he would fly with the patient to go there to make sure everything was okay. So here this man goes to Switzerland to help somebody who needed surgery there. And he's staying in a nice hotel, he's a man of means, and he goes into the hotel. As he's going in for the night, to rest for the night, he sees there's a family there. A husband, a wife, and a daughter. Daughter of marriageable age. Sitting in the hotel lobby at 10 o'clock at night. He goes in, as nice, he sees another yid in Switzerland. Goes over and says, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? What are you doing here? They're taken back a little bit. They don't know the guy, he doesn't know them. He says, thank you, we're here on a trip, but we're leaving tomorrow. He says, okay, I hope you had a nice day. He goes up to his room, can't sleep, he's a little bit edgy, he's a little bit worried about this person who's getting the surgery, he says, I need to get a drink, water. So he goes down, it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes down, and he sees the same family, the husband, the wife, and the daughter, still sitting in the lobby. Says, what's going on here? He goes over to them, he says, why are you still here? So the husband says, I'll tell you. Rabbi, I'll tell you what it is. We came here for a visit, and the cab is picking us up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We couldn't really afford that extra night in the hotel. So we decided, you know what, we'll just stay in the lobby for a few hours until the cab picks us up and takes us to the airport. So this rich man says, no, no, no. Yidden don't do that. I'm not having a Yid sit in the lobby for a few more hours to wait for a cab. You come into my room. Come into my hotel room. He brings them up to the room where he had a suite. He brings them up to the room. He gets them, orders some room service, brings them some food. So he stay here until the cab comes. And he stayed up with them the entire night. Until the cab comes, whenever it was, 7 in the morning, he brought them downstairs, took them in the cab, and they went on their way. He goes, takes care of the surgery, and he comes back to Bnei Brak. Story over. A few months later, this man, this Gvir, this wealthy man, we'll call him Rosenberg, I don't know his name, but we'll call him Rosenberg, and he gets an invitation in the mail. And the invitation is, on the invitation is written, to the Shadchan. To the Shadchan. He opens up the letter, says he doesn't really remember, being a Shadchan. He never was involved in Shidduchim. He never set two people up together. Why would he be getting an invitation saying the Shadchan? Okay, he opens up the letter, he figures he'll know the people inside, either he'll know the Chassan or he'll know the Kala. He looks at the names, he doesn't recognize the names. No idea what happened. A day later, he gets a phone call. He says, hello. The man says, this is Mr. Rosenberg. He says, yes. He says, did you get the invitation? He says, yeah. Why? Who are you, first of all, and why did you write the Shadchan? So he says, let me tell you a story. He says, do you remember me a few months back? I was in Switzerland sitting in the lobby with my daughter. He says, yeah. He says, do you remember what you did? Not really. So you remember you took us off in the hotel and you gave us food and drink until our cab. He's like, yeah, I remember the story. Yeah. So he says, you know why we were in Switzerland? He says, no, I never asked you. So I'll tell you why we were in Switzerland. Our daughter went off the derech. She threw away her Yiddishkeit, threw away her Judaism. So much so that she met a Swiss man, a goy in Israel, who was on a tour. She met this guy, they fell in love, and they wanted to get married. And she was insisting that she was going to marry this guy. She was going to marry him, no matter what. We flew to Switzerland, this is our last ditch effort. We flew out to Switzerland, we didn't have the means, we didn't have the money to pay for a trip. We were saving up for all of our other children's weddings, we had no money, but we had to do it to save our daughter's life, spiritual life. We came to Switzerland for 3 days, trying to talk her out of it, didn't go anywhere. But she agreed to one thing. She said, you know what, Abba? I'll go back to Eretz Yisrael with you. However, I'm just going to get my bags, so I'm coming right back to marry my fiancé. And they gave up. In that lobby, they gave up hope. And they were waiting for the cab. The family couldn't afford another night. So they were staying in the lobby for that one night. They couldn't afford another night. And bring her home just to get her bags. On the plane ride home, she turns to her father in tears. And she says to him, Abba, only a Yid would take care of another Yid like this. I can't marry a guy. Such a Yid that does such a ma'isa chesed, it can only be from another Yid. I'm not marrying him. I'm staying home. She gets out of the plane, goes home, checks into a seminary, comes back to Yiddishkeit, finds a nice yeshiva bacher, and they're getting married, and this is the chasen, and that's what Yiddishkeit. One ma'isa of chesed. He didn't think it was going to be anything great. Avraham Avinu also didn't think anything was going to be great. He didn't know who these people were. He didn't know that he was going to be recorded in the Torah years later, and forever and ever he was going to be the father of chesed. He did it because he felt that was the right thing. We never know the smallest ma'isa how far it can go. Our avodah is the same. We also have opportunities in yeshiva to do chesed. And we don't have to. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It could also be a word of encouragement. Who knows? Who knows what's going on inside another guy's mind? What's going on in another guy's heart? And you know, you put your arm around him and you say, how's it going today? You want to learn. You want to go get a drink of water, of soda. And you want to go play ball. You know, let's go hang out. Or let's go learn something nice. You have no idea the ripple effect that one small mice of chesed can do. We're called Bnei Avram, and we should be like him. The Torah is Milashon Hara, come to teach us lessons, especially in the parashas of Bereishis. I was eating lunch yesterday with one of the Chashuve Shanabet, Eitan Bardash, where are you? Over here. So we were eating lunch together. When we finished lunch, I was in a rush to learn with another Chavrusa, and I was going to get up to leave. And Eitan goes and he takes plate by plate, the plastic plates, and he goes and he throws them out in the bin. So, what are you doing? You know, the guy's going to take the plastic anyway and wrap it up and throw it out. What are you going collecting all the plates for? So, because it's going to make his life easier. It's easier when you roll it up instead of having to do all the plates. It's easier that way. Unbelievable. Shana Bet, he's sitting right here. A small Maisa Chesed. A small Chesed. It doesn't have to go so far. You just think about the other person. Second point I'd like to discuss are nisyonos. Also, that Rav Nosson Tzvi would teach us. He didn't have to teach. He didn't have to speak about overcoming nisyonos. All you have to do is go to one shir. You have to go visit his house, and you see how he acted despite his debilitation. It was a Musr Shmuz on its own that none of us can do. You cannot give 1,000 Musr Shmuz and will not be able to help the one moment that you would have seen the Rosh Hashiva in his illness. However, he taught us what nisyonos are about, and he told us how to overcome them. The Sfarim tell us as follows, that Avraham Avinu was a Midas HaChesed, as I just told you. Sarah was Midas HaDin. And that's why Yitzchak, who was born from Avraham and Sarah, had both of these Midas Chesed, and he had Midas HaDin. The Chesed came from Avraham, and the Midas HaDin came from Sarah. He's mainly known for Gvura Din, and that's why the Pasuk says, V'hine Bein L'Sarah Ishtecha, that he's going to follow Sarah. So the question is as follows. If Sarah was this big person, where the Gemara tells us also she had tremendous amount of Ruach HaKodesh, maybe even over and above Avraham Avinu, who would be more likely to pass this test of the Akedah? Somebody with Gvura, with Din, or somebody with complete and utter Chesed? I'm asking a question. Who is more likely to overcome the Nisayon of the Akedah? No. Who? Gvura. Sarah. She's somebody that would for sure be able to overcome it. She would understand a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a judgment, she goes along with it. And yet, what do we find? What do we find at the end of this week's parsha going into next parsha? What do we find? The moment that Sari hears that Avram was bringing Yitzhak onto the Akedah, she dies. She can't handle it. She dies. What's Pshat? Why is that? She's a Midas Gvura. She's Din. She's for sure she would overcome this. She would understand. Avram was able to overcome it and not Sarah? The answer is a tremendous Yisod, a big Yisod. You know what the answer is? Is that we're all given our individual Nisyonos, our individual tests. The other person can't pass my test. I can pass my test. Avram, despite the fact that he's a Midas Chesed, he's able to overcome the Nisyon because it was given to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each and every one of us our own nisyonos. And if he gives it to us, that means that we can overcome it. The other guy might not be able to, and he might even seem stronger than me. He might even seem that he's on a higher level than I am. But he wouldn't be able to pass than I will. Why? Because it was given to me. And that's what we have to understand this year, Befrat. We have a long zman ahead of us, that we're each and every one of us have our own makeup and our own nisyonos. And nobody else can pass our nisyonos, maybe. Sarah can't pass the nisyon of Avram. Avram can pass it, despite his midah of chesed. Why? Because Hashem gave it to him. That's what Rav Nosson Tzvi would always teach us. Hashem gave him this debilitation, this disease. He overcame it because it was given to him. The other guy couldn't, even though his sickness was ten times less than his, he couldn't open up a daf gemara because it wasn't his nisyon. When Hashem gives you the nisyonos, he gives you the koch to overcome them as well. I want to read you a last story by the Rosh Hashiva again inside, because I can't do justice. A bachar dropped out of the Israeli yeshiva system and was basically on the street. Someone had convinced him to make an effort to hold on to his Yiddishkeit and got Rav Nosson Tzvi to learn with him for an hour a day. At some point, Rav Nosson Tzvi announced one of his 12-hour day campaigns. In Yeshivas Mir, they had a 12-hour day campaign. I'm thinking about speaking to Rabbi Elshin about this. It means that all the guys would register to learn 12 hours a day for a certain amount of time. Some people might say that we're doing that already, but that's what they did in Yeshivas Mir. It was for a week, everybody learned 12 hours a day. He made a sign-up sheet and posted in the yeshiva. At the end of the week, the sign-up sheet was brought to Rav Nosson Tzvi. He skimmed through the names. Listen to this. Rav Nosson Tzvi, 7,000 Talmidim. He skimmed through the names and then asked why that particular boy was not on it. The one who was off the streets that just came into yeshiva. Why was he not on it? Why can't he learn 12 hours a day? The incredulous boy came to Rav Nosson Tzvi and said, Rosh Hashiva must be kidding. An hour a day is max for me. Can't do more than that. Rav Nosson Tzvi smiled and then added his name to the list. The boy decided that as a goodwill gesture, he would humor Rav Nosson Tzvi and participate for a bit. The first day passed by successfully, as did the second day. By the third day, he was losing enthusiasm. At the end of the third day, he went for a short hour to went for a short time to learn, hour or two, and he was already tired. He laid down and opened up a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and after a few minutes, he fell asleep on top of his sefer. At about 6 o'clock in the morning, he woke up, and as his eyes opened, he saw the sefer and instinctively continued learning. In a few moments, he realized a few things. Firstly, that it was morning. Secondly, that it was the earliest that he had ever awoken. And thirdly, it was the first time that he'd ever learned before davening. The first time he ever learned before davening. Excited, he ran to Rav Nosson Tzvi's house and banged on the door at 6:15 a.m. He blurted out excitedly to Rav Nosson Tzvi what had happened. Rav Nosson Tzvi's eyes glistened with excitement. He went to the closet. Rav Amalek, close your ears. He went to the closet, pulled out a bottle of wine, and on the spot made a l'chaim with the boy. This turned out to be a turning point in the boy's life, and eventually became a Rosh Hashiva. This boy became a Rosh Hashiva. I feel like Rabbi Olshan, I need some tissues for my tears. But that's what Rav Nosson Tzvi did. He saw the koach of each guy. And he said, you can do it. You think you can't do it? No. You were given nisyonos that this Shiva X, Y, and Z didn't work out for you, but it's going to work out for you here. Because you can do it as your nisyon and you're going to pass. Nosson Tzvi saw it in that guy. And despite all odds, despite what he thought about himself, what he couldn't do, he did it. He did it for days, one day, 2 days, 3 days, weeks, months, years, and he became a Rosh Hashiva himself. Why? Because Rav Nosson Tzvi showed him that he has a nisayon, it's his nisayon, but he's going to pass it. And that's what Avraham Avinu is showing us as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us unbelievably he saw it as well. Same idea. The Gemara says, "Le'olam ayavu atzmo l'idei nisayon sharei David nechshal." A person shouldn't bring himself into a nisayon. No pshat in the Gemara is, why shouldn't you bring yourself into nisayon? Go test yourself. No pshat in the Gemara is, you can't bring yourself into it. You can't make your own nisyonos. You know why? Why was David Melech nechshal? Why did he falter? Because it wasn't a sign from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you your nisyon, he also gives you the koch, the power to overcome it. If you make up your nisyonos, then you're in the lion's den. You're not going to necessarily succeed. However, if you're placed in a nisyon, it's up to you, and you will pass with siyata d'shmaya. What's our avodah? We have these two inyanim, we have these two ideas, we have maisa chesed of Avraham Avinu, we have this maisa that Avraham Avinu was able, and Yitzchak Avinu were able to overcome nisyonos. Both things Rav Nosson Tzvi was able to teach all of his Talmidim. So how do we bring it home? We have challenges. I say this all the time. Our challenges, like some of the people here, won't mention any names, Tawel, are iPhones, right? And with iPhones. We're playing with iPhones. Total distraction. I read a book, a secular book, called The Shallows, which talks about the damage that the internet does to your brain that doesn't allow you to think properly. You're always looking at the next page, you always like to look at the next page. You can never focus on the page alone. So much so that professors in universities used to be very well read, used to have shelves of encyclopedias and books on their whatever topic they used to teach. It's come to the point where professors themselves don't read full textbooks. They can't do it anymore. They're just used to scanning, just like on the computer. They scan and they scan and they scan. The iPhones is a tremendous distraction to us. It could be used again. It's a great tool as well. I have several Skype chavrusas, FaceTime chavrusas with guys in America, and it's great. But it's also a tremendous disservice. But we didn't decide that. We didn't put it in Steve Jobs' head to make an iPhone. He, for whatever reason, thought about it, and now it's our nisayon. It doesn't mean that we can't pass. It doesn't mean that we have to look at it and say, oh, forget it. I'm never going to be able to learn that 1 hour a day. I'm never going to be able to learn that 2 hours a day. It's not true. You're here. Kadosh Baruch Hu placed you here. That means that you can overcome it. All it does is it takes time to think about it. 10 minutes here. Learn in increments. You have a Seder. You have 2 hours, an hour Seder ahead of you. Don't look at the whole hour. Look at 10 minutes. We're going to learn for 10 minutes straight, and we're not going to bottle it. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to look at the text. For 10 minutes, you can do it. You pass that test, you move on to the next. That boy learned for 1 hour, he did 2 hours, 12 hours a day. He saw that he could do it, and he became a Rosh Hashiva. We can do it too. Tefillah. Chevra. It pains me tremendously that we have such an opportunity to daven 3 times a day. The Sfarim bring down that tefillah is the time that you've been ma'achid yourself with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, kirva to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So much so that Taz brings down the Rebbe Kiva, cried out of simcha on Shabbos because of his opportunity to be able to daven to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to him. Shvisei Hashem Menegli, tell me that Kadosh Baruch Hu is right face to face with him, you're able to talk to him. You just have to realize it. You have to think for a moment. Before davening, you think, I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a tremendous opportunity. And he's right here. And he's talking to me. He's right here. I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to call. I don't have to make any phone calls. He's right here and I can talk to him. A tremendous opportunity. However, for some reason, I see at mincha time, we're not taking that opportunity to its fullest. We're not taking it to its fullest. However, there are some guys here that do. Ari Wachtman, are you here? Please tell me that you're here. You're not here? However, our Rachmanai is an example. Efraim Uretsky, two guys here that I saw on a daily basis coming to Mincha. Wachmanai's a Mincha, Efraim Uretsky. I see these guys every single day, day in, day out. That means despite if they're tired, despite if they have a game to be playing, despite whatever they're doing, somehow they make it. Why? They have nisyonos, but they pass them. It's a lesson that we can learn from. Chevra, we could do this. We have a long zman ahead of us. If we look at the opportunities, they're tremendous and they're daily. It could be a ma'isa chesed, or it could be a nisayon that we might have. But it's for us to overcome. And if we have this nisyonos, that means the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the koach to overcome them. Have a great day.